Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and Wandile Sishi in the house with me again. It is 2021, and we're back with our first show of Auto Central, powered by none other than the leader in the marketplace space, autotrader.co.za. Yeah. How are you, Wandi?
Oh, so good to be back. Finally back. I was with my family, and now I think it's time to get back to work. I'm super excited for this year. I think there's lots of things that are going to be keeping us busy. And let's see what happens.
How was the holidays for you?
It was good. It was good. I spent some time with family, but halfway through I got really scared. So I ran straight back just to be a little bit safer, a little bit more rested.
Did you spend time in Gauteng or did you go out?
No, I stayed in Gauteng. My parents stayed in Pretoria. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you cross provinces?
No. I did actually briefly, yeah, but for like 4 days and I came right back, yeah.
Okay.
As soon as things got crazy.
Yeah, no, we stayed at home the entire time. Yeah. Did the sensible thing and switched off.
Yeah. I think we all need a little bit of a switch off.
You do need to switch off.
Center ourselves again,
but it's weird. I mean, like last year, I don't know if you felt this, but working from home, you feel like your days blend into nights, blend into the weekend, blend into Monday.
That was the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It was hard to know when to turn off. Yeah. It was so easy to just be switched on all the time.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, going to an office, you have to get in your car. There's an event there. And then you get to the office and then you have to leave. And that event of leaving, going home kind of like lets you know that, okay, this is the end of the day.
I actually read, there's been studies about exactly that point. Where
really?
I think it's Google or something, but they've kind of enforced that during the times when people are traveling, they are either reading or taking a jog, but they're not
working,
like, working at the time.
Sense. So, you know, it's and I think that's extended to some degree to the holidays as well, because you know, a lot of people stayed at home. A lot of people went down to Durban where the beaches were closed.
Definitely.
But a lot of people stayed at home as well.
Yeah, but the nice thing is we were told specifically that we have to just completely turn off. So I think regardless of where you were.
Who told you that?
Well, you know, I have a pretty lenient and awesome boss. So.
No, that's true. It was important to switch off. I switched off and the whole business had to just kind of take a break.
Yeah.
Take some time out, because I think this holiday was the weirdest ever.
It felt like a holiday. Like, honestly, this time it really felt like what a holiday is supposed
to be
for me personally. Yeah. Because usually on holiday, I'm not as mentally drained.
Yes.
Whereas this time I was really, really, really finished. So for me, it felt like what a holiday is supposed to be, or what a weekend is supposed to be, which is completely just turn off and rest.
Yeah.
So it felt good.
Well, good. Welcome back. I'm glad you're safe and we're doing the sensible things, keeping social distance, doing the washing of hands and sanitizing. And, you know, hopefully this thing will be behind us in 2021.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Hey, the funny thing is, you know, COVID-19, the 19 is because it was
2019,
discovered in 2019, and we're in 2021. So hopefully we see the back of this thing. So just a reminder that our podcast airs at 9 a.m. on Mondays. And you can catch it on cliffcentral.com. But at any time, you can also look us up on YouTube. You'll be able to see, you know, don't know if anybody wants to see our ugly faces. But you can see our faces on YouTube if you want to watch, or if you want to just listen. We're on all the other main podcast platforms, iTunes, SoundCloud,
Spotify, Apple Music, the works.
Yeah, exactly. And just look up at AutoTraderSA and you can find us there.
Definitely.
Sure you won't have a problem. So, you know, as we said, hello to 2021. South Africans love braaiing. They love cars. And they love being out in the sun. And you're an avid F1 fan. Give us the 2-second version
of what happened last year. So last year, surprisingly, was actually my favorite year watching F1.
You're kidding.
I swear.
I hardly watched.
I watched every single race religiously. I mean, from start to finish, the pre-race everything, but essentially Lewis Hamilton is now a seven-time world champ.
Wow.
Seven-time world champion.
So he's equaled Michael Schumacher, right?
He has. There's lots of opinions about that. Personally, obviously, I'm really happy about that. But we also had lots of changes in the grid that's happening or coming into 2021. So yeah. I think this year is going to be really, really, really exciting for any F1 fan. So if you had turned off, please come back on. I think you're going to see some interesting stuff.
Has Hamilton signed his contract yet?
He hasn't. He hasn't. And there's rumors that, and he's technically he's out of a job right now.
Yes.
And there's rumors that they might not even do so. But that those are just murmurs within.
I hope they don't.
I hope they do. Why would you say something so hurtful?
I don't like him. What can I say? I don't
know. We'll see what happens. I'm sure we'll know.
No, I don't dislike him. I'm just not on.
He's a Ferrari fan.
I'm just not a fan.
Huh? You Ferrari?
Yeah, I'm a Ferrari fan. So that's why. It's all good in the game of F1 wars. We're here today to unpack.
Yeah. So last year we spoke about the fact that the double cabs had become the most popular body type in the country. Understood why, right? But now it's 2021, and we're going into a new phase of this new COVID thing. We're really starting to see a lot of activity happening with regards to consumer behavior. So just to kind of get some opinions on if you think double cabs are still going to be top of the roost or, you know, kings of the hill.
Well, yeah, king of the hill. I suppose it'll always be king of the hill, given you know what it is. And South Africans, I think people by and large are creatures of habit.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Change is a difficult thing for anybody.
Yeah.
Look at the lockdowns and COVID-19. That was tough.
It was tough.
So, yeah. You know, to change the bucky sentiment or popularity for South Africans, I think it will be a hard thing to do. Although, SUVs and sedans still beat buckies.
Yeah, I mean, they collectively, and I think SUVs, especially SUVs, globally, we're seeing that globally they are completely the dominant and fastest growing body type.
Yeah. And sedans are not, still a big chunk, but they're not growing as fast.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. I think a lot of people, or rather, let's speak directly to double cabs. I think they have so many dual purposes and multi-purposes, actually, that it kind of makes sense in South Africa. We saw when the lockdown regulation started in level 5.
Bucky surged,
straight after that. And now we're entering a new phase of this new lockdown kind of rules and stuff that we can anticipate that potentially they'll still have the popularity that we saw in the beginning of last year.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I think the downside for me is that Buckies don't have an electric variant or version.
In South Africa.
In South Africa and very few and far between around the world. I mean, there's the SUVs, Tesla Model X. Yeah. SUVs in electric, yes. The Jaguar I-Pace.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a crossover SUV type vehicle. But Buckies, double cabs specifically, there's no electric variant. I mean, Lucid.
Lucid was
sporting a buggy.
There's a few that are upcoming, and there's a few that we know are going to be released in the next coming years. But South Africa doesn't seem like is going to be seeing any of those anytime soon.
Mm.
And I say that with a pinch of salt, simply because we know how much we can adapt. I think our country and our nation generally adapts fairly quickly.
Well, we saw that at the beginning of the first lockdown, right?
Exactly.
You know, people adapted quickly. We saw that in the data.
So as soon as the rules kind of get easier or more lucid for the OEMs, we should anticipate starting to see some of these flagged or penned double cab EVs coming in.
Well, I hope so. I hope so because used cars are still flying. Yeah. I mean, we were seeing 45 to 60% increases in really high quality car buying traffic at the end of last year, and we're anticipating north of 30% for January, which is one of the biggest months of 2021 or of any year for that matter. So what are you seeing in the data in terms of double cabs? You know, do you think it's still going to fly in January?
So as it stands, we're seeing that it's kind of the same as what we're seeing last year. But there are movements in other body types, and I think that says a lot, right? The fact that double cabs are still remaining popular as much as they are shows us that, well, Buckies in general, let's not single out
just double cabs.
Just double cabs. I think single cabs as well have a large...
double cabs have the versatility. I mean, it can be a family vehicle.
More than
Can carry stuff.
Exactly.
Move your fridge.
But double cab. Well, let's say Buckies as a whole are still showing the dominance that we saw last year.
Yeah.
I think any OEM who, you know, had plans around double cabs for or didn't have plans for 2021 with their double cabs should definitely consider it. We're seeing. I saw this new double cab that was released actually at the end of last year. I'm not sure when it's coming to South Africa or when it's going to be in sale in South Africa, but I mean, it's stunning. So I'm even considering getting
a double cab.
Well, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that'll look quite cool. You'll look quite cool in a double cab.
I think I'll look tiny in it, but hey.
Yeah, no, but it's cool.
Yeah.
This big muscle double cab car.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, talking about double cabs, let's invite our very own Lawrence Mini onto the show, who's going to be joining us via video conference any second. But they did a triple Bucky shootout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With special edition sort of 2020 top of the range Buckies. Super anticipated. I think everyone was waiting for this video, and everyone, you know, those whispers about it happening, and finally we can now answer the question, what's the top special edition double cab?
Well, I'm keen to ask Lawrence what special edition actually means, because you see that on many cars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you see this special edition in the, you know, on the bottom sill, just above the where the on the outside of the door on the sill, you see special edition. Okay, what does that actually mean, and how important is it? So they took these three special edition double cabs, and so let's get Lawrence on and hear from him.
See what happens, yeah.
All right, so let's welcome our very own Lawrence Mini via video conference. And Lawrence, no relation of mine, although, you know, there may be a distant relation where, you know, surname spellings changed.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure there could have been a commonality at some point, right, Lawrence?
Oh, more than likely.
We should do some research. You never know. Maybe you like your... half cousin or something, you know.
Well, I mean, my surname is from German descent. Lawrence, if I don't want to insult Lawrence, but more from Afrikaans descent, right?
No, it's actually German as well.
Oh, so maybe there is a relation there.
There it is.
Interesting. Okay.
Jeez.
Interesting. All right. Well, you did a shootout with three special edition double cabs. Now, you know, before we get into which vehicles these were and the rhetoric around what you experienced, what does special edition mean?
Okay. Basically, when the automotive manufacturers say it's a special edition, it really is just a cosmetic package. It's not very often that they will mess around with the engines. Sometimes they'll do a suspension or something along those lines, but most of the time it's usually just a cosmetic package.
So all Ford Wildtrak are special editions?
Well, the Ford Wildtrak in itself is a model derivative. But anytime they change something in that model derivative, it becomes a special edition.
No, but that's so. I suppose what I'm trying to say by saying that is, you know, not every person, but most people that have a Ford Wildtrak have some sort of personal customization of some sort.
I was thinking about my uncle there when you said that. I was like, he's going to be so mad and call me after that statement, because they don't see it that way. But hey.
Well, I mean, it must be a special edition because, you know, they all put different things on those Wildtraks, don't they?
Well, yes. A lot of guys, especially out here on the East Rand, seem to think that heading down to the local spares accessory shop and sticking on as much stuff as they can find makes their Wildtrak a Raptor or something along those lines. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, all Ford Wildtracks are special editions. I'll maintain that. Okay, sorry, I don't mean to offend Ford Wildtrak drivers. I like the car. Anyway, so let's get into the three vehicles that you reviewed here. Tell us about where you took them and which cars they were.
Okay, so we headed out a little bit further east to a 4x4 training testing facility, if you wish. We had the VW Amarok. Dark label, the Toyota Hilux Legend RS, and the Toyota Wildtrak Thunder. So basically, each one of these is a special edition in that it isn't just a standard Amarok or Hilux or yeah. Ranger. It's a cosmetic package attached to the vehicle. And then we had three of our other journalists all test driving the vehicles and then giving their impressions in car while attempting to do a number of the obstacles out there. Mm.
Did you get stuck? Sorry.
No comment.
Ah. Watch the video. So you mentioned earlier that usually a special edition is kind of like a cosmetic change, right? But are all three of these, I guess, variants of these different models also just cosmetic changes, or is there anything or any of them that actually had some sort of menial change?
Yeah, so the Ranger Thunder is basically just, like I said, it's a cosmetic package, so they've got some red accents and some badging. The Toyota, the VW Amarok is exactly the same thing, just a little bit of cosmetic changing and some badging. But the Legend RS is a whole new Toyota model that falls under the Legend name tag. Mm. And this one is the RS, which stands for roller shutter. So it's just got that little extra bit that was added onto it. So not really a special edition in itself, but a brand new vehicle with an extra add-on.
Mm, I see. I guess you're right then, George. I guess every Wildtrak technically
is a special edition, right?
To be perfectly honest with you, gents, the reason why the Thunder exists is exactly that reason. South Africa saw that Ranger owners love to modify and make their vehicles their own, so they decided to get in on the action and sort of released a modified from the factory version.
A pimped version. Okay. So, you know, how did these three cars perform? And, where did one rival the next?
Well, look, they were all pretty much on par. They're all 4x4, change on the fly. They all tackled the exact same obstacles, and only one of them got stuck and had to be rescued by another.
Was that the driver?
I want to say it was driver error. But other than that, they're all pretty much on par. And really what it comes down to is personal taste in appearance.
I did see that the Amarok was a 2-liter. Is there going to be a 3-liter version, like a V6 version of the dark label?
No, not the dark label. There is a new Amarok model, which should be with us very, very shortly. I think it arrived at the end of last year, so it should be available to buy. The dark label was just a once-off special edition, so it isn't an actual model. The rest of that will continue. So yeah, there'll be a V6 as well. But yeah, these are all more or less between a 2 and a 3 liter
sort of
medium size.
And is that video live on AutoTrader?
It is, yes.
Lovely. So if you want to go and see Lawrence getting stuck. Want to see Lawrence getting stuck, go and look at the review of the, what did you call it? The triple shootout.
Three-way
shootout. go and look at the three-way shootout on autotrader.co.za and go and have a look at Lawrence getting stuck in the mud, I'm assuming. So Lawrence, your before we let you go, your view out of 10 on these three vehicles.
Okay, I've driven all three. And I was equally impressed with all three, but on a sliding scale, in terms of livability, living with the vehicle, and using them every day, the Ranger Thunder gets an 8.
Oh.
The Hilux gets a 9.
Okay.
And Amarok gets a 7.
Wow.
Okay, interesting. Why did Amarok get a 7?
because it doesn't have four-wheel drive, it has all-wheel drive, so it has the four-motion system, so you don't get low range. And that, when you, if you're wanting to do some pretty gnarly stuff with the vehicle, having low range is a big one. Where the other two have low range, the Amarok doesn't.
Okay, that's interesting. So so the Amarok is more like your SUV type vehicle with all-wheel drive all the time.
It is essentially a Touareg underneath.
Okay. Interesting. Well, thank you very much, Lawrence. We appreciate you coming on and doing the three-way shootout. Go and have a look at it, as I said, on autotrader.co.za under our news and review section, and you'll be able to go and watch the video. Any final thoughts for 2021 before you go?
Keep your eyes open, because we have a backlog of new vehicles that will be arriving this year.
Nice.
Stuff that was supposed to come last year, but for obvious reasons didn't. So, yeah, we're going to see quite an expansive increase in new vehicles arriving in the country. So, yeah, Auto Trader will be the place to be.
Lovely. Till next time, Lawrence. Thanks, keep yourself safe.
From James. Cheers. Cheers.
Well, interesting.
It is. I knew the Hilux was going to win, though, I must say. Well, just based on the reviews that we had previously from the journalists on the different models, the base models, I guess, the Hilux was always the kind of the fan favorite and the most capable. So I had a prediction. I was hoping the Amarok would win, but hey.
The Amarok? The Amarok is closer, in my mind, is closer to an SUV than what it is to a 4x4 Bucky.
Yeah.
Kind of like with low range, as Lawrence put it. Mm. And I think that's quite an important thing if you want to go off-roading.
I went off-roading in an Amarok, actually, this past holiday.
No low range, obviously.
No. Yeah. And it was difficult. I had a really tough time. I actually got stuck on a rock at one point.
Okay.
But obviously, we managed to get, you know, through it, but if I had a Hilux, I think it was going to be a different story.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not an off-road driver, so you know, the experience is not there. But yeah, capable, fun, but I kind of had a hunch that the Hilux would win.
Lovely. Mm. Okay, so, and now let's get into everyday people. Send Auto Trader some motoring-related questions about all things car buying. So Wendy and I are now going to attempt to answer some of those questions. Wendy, what's question number one from who?
Okay, so the first question is from Arshen, I think. Please correct me if I pronounce that wrong. But essentially, he or she asked, how do I go about buying a car from a different province? It's from a dealership.
Well, I mean, buying a car from a different province is still buying a car in South Africa.
Mm.
So there's no real difference except for the distance. Mm. You know, so I would say if you want to buy a car from a different province, get down there and have a look at the car.
Definitely.
Unless, you know, you have a trusted dealer that you're dealing with that will give you a couple of days money back guarantee. Mm. Obviously, if they're going to give you a guarantee, there's going to be a cost for the transport if you're going to give the vehicle back. You can't expect a dealer to send a car up to Gauteng or to another province and then carry the cost for the transport if you don't like the car, for instance. Yeah. You know, so I would say it's exactly the same as buying a car in any other province. Mm. The distance is the problem. Go down and see it. That would be the best.
Yeah. You don't have to take it there then, but definitely go down and
Have a look at it and do your homework, as we usually say.
Yeah.
And if you can't go and have a look at it, do your homework on the dealership.
I've actually seen that a lot of dealerships do offer some sort of like towing service.
They put it on those trucks.
Yeah.
You know, and they send it up. I mean, my current car was bought from Durban, from a Durban dealer.
Mm.
And they sent it up. I didn't see the car or drive it before. I sent somebody to drive it. So maybe that's an idea.
Mm,
is send somebody, if you know somebody down in that province, send someone to drive it for you.
Had you driven the similar model?
Yes.
Okay. So you knew kind of what you were getting into. It wasn't like a...
Yeah, I'd been looking for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, on Auto Trader, obviously.
I see. All right.
There we go. Question two.
The next question's from Etienne. Here she asks, good morning. Please tell me if it's legal or ethical for dealers to still advertise vehicles without VAT.
Well, I mean, to my knowledge about the regulations around VAT, if a price is quoted and it doesn't specifically say excluding VAT, then it's inclusive of VAT.
Automatically. That's kind of best practice.
Yes. Well, it's
the law.
It's the law. if something is advertised and it doesn't contain VAT, it has to say it doesn't contain VAT.
Yeah.
That's, to my knowledge, nothing's changed in that way. I don't know if you have any opinion on that.
I don't have an opinion on VAT. I just know that when.
How would you like to see it? I suppose.
I think it should always be inclusive. I think it just makes life easier. I think it's kind of.
Well, consumers don't care about VAT, right?
I think
what they pay is what they pay.
What they pay for is what they see, and it's really annoying when you see a price and it's like excluding VAT, and then you go to the shop and it's like, okay, I have to pay another, I don't know, X amount extra for this purchase.
So VAT means nothing to you. It's an expense.
It's really just I have to pay it anyways, right? So just include it in the total price.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
All right, question three.
Okay, last question comes from Solly. And Solly's asking, is buying a high-mileage second-hand Bucky a bad idea? Specifically, he did give us a range, he or she said 190,000 kilometers.
Well, I mean, I don't know what your sense is, but my sense is that cars have got better and better and better over the decades.
100%, yeah.
And they can do higher and higher mileages. The engines have got better and better and more reliable. To answer that question is going to be very vehicle-specific. Because it depends, in my mind, how that specific vehicle was treated.
And the first owner. Yeah, basically, what you just said, yeah.
Yes. It's whether it was manhandled, abused. Then a 190,000-kilometer vehicle is not going to last you too long if it was abused. How was that vehicle? Does it have a full service history? Was it in an accident? If you just check out the vehicle and its history and try and speak to the previous owners if possible.
Yeah.
Get some sort of a history on the car. But a high mileage vehicle is not necessarily bad. What's your take?
I think it doesn't. Like you said, it's really only dependent on the factor of how it was treated, how it was serviced. I don't think there's anything wrong with a high mileage vehicle. There's lots of high mileage vehicles. I've seen them chugging along like they're new almost.
No, except for the ones that blow like white or black smoke out the back.
Exactly, yeah. But other than those, usually it just depends on how it was treated. You can find a car that's 20,000 with a 20,000 mileage that's
been badly treated, and it's probably worse. Yeah, exactly.
Than something that's 190,000. So it just depends on, the first.
On the car.
The vehicle, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have time for, One Dile Sishi. And that has been another episode of Auto Central, brought to you by autotrader.co.za. And my name is George Meany, and I was kindly joined by my co-host, One Dile Sishi. Cheers, One D.
Bye, George.